6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
John Tortorella. John Tortorella.
Johnny boy.
This fucking guy.
Here's Johnny.
So,
Johnny.
There were rumors at the beginning of the week, again, this is the third time now this has popped up, that Tortorella could be heading to the Flyers front office as recently, or I guess as recently, as soon as this coming offseason. And, you know, this popped up last year during the president search. Everyone, there were a lot of fan theories out there that suggested that Tortorella wants to be president of the team. And obviously it didn't happen. And then when the Blues fired Craig Berube, they thought, oh, Berube's going to come back to Philadelphia. Which, by the way, I do not want fucking Craig Berube coaching this hockey team. But that's a different story for a different day. You know, but the rumors popped up again then. And then, Nick Kiprios and Justin Bourne talked about it on their Sportsnet podcast that he could. Apparently, Tortorella wanted a front office job in Columbus, and Kekalainen said no, and thus the two sides parted ways, quote unquote, after the 21 season. And they could speculated that Tortorella wants this move with the Flyers. And it just. Every time this comes up, I just. Baffled. Baffled. First and foremost, John Tortorella, can you imagine this guy in a three-piece suite sitting in the C-suite of the Wells Fargo Center, sipping on a latte, exchanging war stories with Dan Hilferty, and a complete hands-off role from the on-ice product? I can't imagine that for a second. Like, even if that's what he wants, I just can't imagine that being a thing. This guy not having a say, a direct say in what's going on the ice, I just can't. That part of my brain doesn't exist. If he wanted a front office role, why did he sign up for a four-year coaching gig in the first place? Like, that just, you're all, oh, we're going to retire halfway through this contract and move up to the front office. Then I had some people on Twitter try and explain to me the theory of why this works. And it's a very interesting one. I wrote a piece about this on the website entitled, Are the Flyers Playing 4D Chess with Their Rebuild? And essentially, Tortorella steps away from the bench. The team regresses because of it, because they don't have Tortorella leading the way. But because he's still there, Tortorella's still there, he can kind of keep the culture together. But they take the step back. They go into a much stronger 2025 draft with their own first-round pick and whatever else they acquire between now and then. And then they build up. They get the draft picks. They're good to go. I just, it's a fascinating theory. Now, we talked on the show in the past that we do not necessarily believe culture continues on by itself, right? We think that it happens refreshing every year. But if Tortorella steps down, they regress, they land their top guy, you kill off another year, you go into a very strong 2025 free agent class right now, sign a couple big players, you're ready to go, your team is good, Michkov comes over in 2026, you're off to the fucking races with whoever's coach, whether Chief or Bradshaw or whatever the fucking situation is there. But the theory is essentially, Tortorella goes out on top, lingers around in the background long enough to keep the crew together so they don't completely fall, but they fall back enough to get the picks and move on. So when explained that way, it's a, you know, it's a big brain move, 1,000 IQ play from Danny Briere. I don't think it's happening. I don't think that's what's happening, but I could see the theoretical vision that they're trying to produce there. But yes, these rumors of Tortorella, you know, going away, leaving, you know, retreating to the Flyers front office and leaving the bench, I don't know if there's any room to it. I don't know if it actually happens, but the theory behind why it happens that I was told by some people and kind of pieced together on the website, fascinating one.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That theory would be like best case scenario, and there's no way in hell I would give the Flyers credit for actually trying to execute that. If that happened, it would simply
there's a lot
just
of theoreticals. It's very unlikely.
It just happened that way. But yeah, I mean, getting back to the torch thing, I cannot at all, in any way, shape, or form, see John Tortorella in a front office role at all.
No,
he is not a front office type of person. You have to. I mean, if you want to be in the front office, you need to be able to connect with people like outside the organization, with fans and stuff, and like, you know, do some of the public relations stuff. He sucks at that. He's horrendous at that. I mean, he has a temper on him like a freaking 13-year-old half the time. So that's not going to work. And I think you're right, Dan. His vision, what he wants, what he's described in interviews when he talks about coaching and involvement with the NHL and all that sort of stuff, it all relates back to how he likes to interact with players and, you know, shape them as men and create this, you know, environment and everything. And like, you're not going to be able to do that in a front office capacity. And I also don't think that he's like paying attention to the rest of the league in terms of, you know, trying to execute a trade or figuring out salary cap issues or contract issues, dealing with agents, dealing with things going on in the arena that are non-hockey related. Like, there is no way that John Tortorella is, number one, interested in any of those things that I just listed, nor do I think he would be any good at them. I think he'd be very bad at all of those things. So I can't imagine why this makes any sense. And when you look at the Flyers' structure right now in terms of the ownership and front office group there, where the hell would he possibly fit? I mean, it's some sort of like, they're not going to kick Keith Jones out, who I would rather have Keith Jones and Tortorella as a president. And what do they do? Put him as some sort of vice president or assistant to somebody or a senior advisor? I mean, I cannot imagine that. I have a hard time believing any of this stuff. It just doesn't seem to fit with this human being. And I don't know where this stuff really came from, but I can't see it.
They have a president. They have a president of hockey ops. They have a general manager. They have three assistant general managers, five senior advisors, and two special advisors already in the front office.
Good Lord.
And those advisors, I mean, the advisor role are essentially made up, right? They don't have any specific job titles, but I mean, it's full. He's going to be a special assistant to the GM like Danny Briere was to him. I cannot for a second imagine this guy in the front office. Like, this plan, regardless of the grand theory that I just stated, the pure step one of Tortorella converting to a front office man doesn't make any sense. I just cannot picture that being a thing.
It's like, oh, hey, let's bring in Bam Bam from the Flintstones to do surgery. What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't want this guy being fucking. Can you imagine this guy having Danny Breer's ear when it comes to actual roster construction and making the moves? He's got too much say as is. I don't want this guy fucking signing more Nick Sealers. They'll never be a top player in this league again if this guy is a fucking GM.
So I agree mostly with what you guys are saying. I'd probably put myself seeing that there's more of a chance that it can happen. It certainly won't happen in the off season or next season. If you look at where this team is right now and the effect that Torts has had as a coach here in just 2 years, to communicate to fans that, yeah, so we had a great season and John Tortorella is going to be nominated for the Jack Adams. More than likely he's going to be a finalist, right? A top three guy.
Probably.
You know, but by the way, he's not going to be our coach next year. We're going to move him up to the front office, to the C-suite. That will not go over.
It's a hard sell.
Yeah. With fans. And I understand why fans would be confused and not understand what's going on there. Like a Jack Adams finalist, the season that this team's had, the effort level, squeezing blood from a stone with each of these players, pushing all the right buttons, and now you're moving him,
moving on up,
like the Jeffersons. He's moving on up to the east side, baby. He's going up to the C-suite apartment in the Wells Fargo. But I don't see that happening. Not right now. I do believe Doug McClain, he's got a lot of connections in Columbus because he was there for a long time. And when he says that Torts wanted a front office job, I would tend to believe him. I also believe him that Kekalainen didn't want that. You have to remember, this is like, we've talked about the Flyers becoming the next Blue Jackets. And it's, in a lot of ways, this story kind of reinforces that. Because John had a lot of good successful years as coach and reimagining the Blue Jackets and instilling a culture and a work ethic. And they were a lunch pail team and a hardworking team that was really hard to play against. Sound familiar, everybody? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, and by the way, super popular with the fan base. I remember I did a John Tortorella for Jack Adams article over Alain Vigneault, and I had tons of people from Columbus giving me thumbs up and saying, amen, you're right, Torts is the man, he's the greatest. He's a very well-liked guy. He's also a huge personality. And that's kind of by design. And the Flyers have kind of promoted that John kind of steps into this larger-than-life persona in being the head coach of this team. I think Danny Briere would have some hesitation in saying, do I want this massive personality coming into the, you know, general manager's meetings with me and making huge decisions on this team? Or is he going to basically take up all the air in the room and start to push me out? And then he's going to be the sole focus. I don't know what kind of role he could be interested in, but maybe it's even as simple as John sees it as what's the guy from Barry Trotz moved from coach to front office. Maybe he wants to do something like that because he sees himself in the same level as Barry Trotz. Or maybe the front office sees him as, yeah, we'll put you in the front office, John. You're going to be with Bob Clark and Bob Murray and Bill Barber and all of the other senior advisors. You're going to get a paycheck. You're going to be semi-retired. We're going to bring you in every now and then, and you'll be nice and cushy, and you'll be part of this family. But is he necessarily going to be an assistant GM? I don't know. I can't see him doing contracts. I can't see him negotiating with agents and stuff. The only thing I could see him doing is being like a player personnel guy, a guy who knows players around the NHL because he watches a lot of games.
That was, you know, I noted the Trotz thing in the article as well, you know, that there is some precedent of this happening recently. But again, it doesn't really explain if you signed a four-year contract. You know, when he signed the deal and he showed up to Philadelphia, he was like, I'm going to coach this team for 4 years and I'm done. He's retiring. You know, that is going to go back to his farm and get kicked in the head by horses every day. You know, I didn't think that he was going to convert to the front office. And it's going to be a hard sell. That's the other part of this one that you were talking about here was, can you imagine? I mean, this guy's the face of the franchise right now. If the, hey, he just carried this team to the best season they've had in 5 years. He's going away now. Like, that's going to be a tough sell, especially if they take a step back on the ice. Even if that ultimately helps him in the future with better draft picks, you know, it's going to be a tough sell. It's going to look, it's a real bad look to just kind of abandon ship when things are going great. So, I don't know. I cannot imagine there's any truth to this. Every time we just sit here and dissect this, every time this topic comes up, well, the third time now, I can't come to a conclusion where this seems to make any sense from anybody's perspective, quite frankly.
No. And the one thing that really distinguishes, I mean, I think a lot of things can distinguish the Trotz situation from here, personality type first and foremost, but also there was a very calculated plan from David Poile to Barry Trotz in Nashville, especially considering Trotz's history with the organization. And the time was ripe for Poile to retire. and the time was ripe for Trotz to fill a general manager's role. And that sort of footprint doesn't exist in Philadelphia at all. We have a rookie general manager that, for all intents and purposes, probably should be given at least a couple of years to figure out what he can and can't do. We also have a new president and a new owner of the team. And I just can't imagine, you know, that one of those guys is going to be fired in the next 6 months here and John Tortorella installed in one of those roles. If, for example, you had something with, you know, a GM that was older and on his way out, maybe I could see that, but I can't really see that succession here.
No, and you're right though. The other aspect to add on to what you said, Mike, about the succession plan with Trotz in Nashville. Don't forget, he was a head coach in Nashville for many, many
20
years
or something.
Yep. He knows everybody in that organization. Mm-hmm. He knows that market. He knows everything. He doesn't have to get up to speed with, you know, learning the new job and learning about the organization and the fans and the market. He's already got the fans in the market already down. He just has to figure out, like, okay, how do I do contracts? How do I do, you know, the GM's meetings? How do I navigate and keep tabs on the CBA and the cap and all that other stuff? That's the stuff that he could focus on, and he seems to be a bright guy that he can do that.
I think personality wise, he can do it.
But like, he was there in Nashville for a long time.
Yep.
Like it is a little bit different with John Tortorella here in Philly.
Yeah, yeah, Trotz is an icon there. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore there for sure, as possibly him and Poyle the most important figures of that organization. So. I just think this is just too much square peg, round hole, any way you spin it. I think Manny brought up some good points as to maybe, you know, how you could potentially force fit that piece in. But it just does not seem like a good fit at all with the Flyers for him to be injected into the front office, whether that's this offseason or even a couple of years down the line. I mean, unless, you know, something happens with the front office otherwise, with Briere or something, but I just can't see it now or in the future.
And, you know, I guess when his contract's over and he actually wants to go away, and Manny was kind of alluding to this one, giving him some kind of, like, role, like he can be an assistant GM, quote-unquote, or special advisor or something, and he comes back during training camp every year to kick the shit out of the players and put them through the ringer, and then goes back to his farm for the rest of the year, something like that. Like, I could totally see him having something like that where he can stay involved, come in and be a gigantic asshole for a few weeks, then go back away. I suppose that's possible, some kind of special advisor role, but, I mean, we'll see. We'll see when the summer rolls around, but as we just spent the last 20 minutes talking about, there's just not an angle from this one where I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. It's just, none of this makes any sense.
Like, think about how big and popular John Tortorella is right now. Like, if you're Danny Briere, would you want that in your front office?
I mean, it's part of the menage a trois anyway, right?
Yeah, I know, but Danny is like the opposite. He's quiet. He's more measured.
Doesn't speak English.
Yeah, he's English as a second language. You know, he's how do we say this in French? I don't know. He would get drowned out by John Tortorella.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy had any real power.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, if you're Danny Briere, that doesn't make any sense to put somebody in there who's going to be like so overwhelming in that front office that it basically, you know, delegates you to being kind of second tier. That doesn't make any sense. The only other thing with that is, you know, if the team goes through a losing season or they take a step backwards, then the justification is, well, we were going to fire John, but we're going to give him this position where he's in the front office, but he certainly wouldn't be an assistant GM or anything.
No.
That kind of makes more sense. I could see that happening, but I cannot see him just jumping into, unless he gets like whatever Patrick Sharp is doing, in player development or whatever. If he does something like that, or if he goes to Lehigh Valley in some capacity, that's different. But I don't see him doing that in the big team.
Yep. Yeah, it would be a bizarre situation. And there's so many ways you could look at it. I mean, perhaps one theory is that Tortorella knows that he's not going to be able to keep getting this level of play out of this group of players. And therefore, he's just going to try to get out while he's on
you
top.
You leave while you're on top, yeah. I mean, yeah. They do have Bradshaw, who was supposedly in the hunt for a few head coaching jobs last summer. It didn't ultimately happen. You know, it could be the, hey, Tortorella's leaving, but Bradshaw's taking over, and it's a way to kind of keep this guy in the organization so he doesn't leave this year. I mean, he lets him do all the press conferences. That could be, yeah, there's another thing we can fucking talk about, is John Tortorella backing out of press conferences lately. Supposedly, the story today was that his family was in town in both of those games, like a week apart, supposedly. And that's why he didn't do it, because given a 39-second post-presser when he can sit there and throw his hands up in the air after asking a question about Felix Sandstrom and storms out, you know, that's too much, apparently. He had to go. But, yeah, that was another interesting one that could, you know, hint more towards him leaving, is he doesn't even answer press. We're grooming Bradshaw to deal with the media here to deal with this. Or John Tortorella is just an asshole and doesn't want to answer any stupid media questions. Either one is feasible.
I guess it makes sense, because he did this last year too at the end of the season, where he wasn't even on the bench at the end of the season.
No.
he's let his assistant
coaches
do that.
Eye in the sky with Danny Briere.
Yeah, God, they're dumb. Do the press conferences. I mean, there could be traction on this. I just, you know, we're just kind of spitballing here, but you look at that, you add in the fact that they named a captain when there's no fucking reason they should have named a captain at all, according to everything they've said. You have this report out now by McLean with all this stuff. You see Tortorella skipping out on press conferences again. You see the assistant coaches taking a more lead type of role, way more than other assistants do in other organizations. So I don't know, you put all that stuff in the pot, and I guess it does suggest, you know, potentially that Tortorella sees himself exiting sooner rather than later. But again, I mean, does that mean front office, or just say, hey, I've had enough of coaching, I'm out?
Just tapping
and just
out
say,
general.
I'm just going to, yeah, I'm just going to quit. You know, I wasn't sure how long I wanted to do this anyway. And I've, you know, I think I've done a good job with the Flyers. I put them in a good position, to succeed, you know, later on, with my assistants, with our captain, with our culture, all that shit. And I'm out now. And then they could just kind of part ways. Cause I don't see the Flyers, again, like you said, they'd have to make up some bullshit role for him. There's no identifiable position available for him, let alone do I think he'd be any good at it anyway. Yeah. I think he would be horrendous in virtually anything to do with a front office role. So
just not a hands-off guy. Like, that's, can you imagine him just sitting in the C-suite overnight, not having a say in the on-ice product every single night? He'd be on the phone calling Bradshaw on the bench. I want you to scratch Bobby Brady in that tournament. I'm fucking playing like that. He's not doing it. Like, there's no way he could sit by and watch somebody else control the thing that he wouldn't have any control of from a hockey team. There's just no way. I can't imagine that being a thing.
I didn't have any time in a rush. We recorded a little bit later today. I was supposed to stop and get a prop for today's show. I apologize to the
more Oreos,
all of you American listeners out there. I was going to get a nice big Cohiba Cuban cigar, and I thought that this would be a good. This is the Torts show, after all. And I thought maybe we could Sigmund Freud it up and psychoanalyze John Tortorella. Because this stuff about him going to the front office, is this really what he wants? Or is he transmitting some secret signals of some kind? Is John Tortorella okay? Like, I'm being serious here. Because his behavior over the last... Oh, probably since he hurt his hand and got surgery.
Yeah, what the hell?
He's been, like, really off the wall. Like, the thing with fighting with McCauley, the referee, and saying, I'm not fucking leaving, and that becoming a shitstorm. the Sean Couturier thing, that becoming a shitstorm, throwing up his shoulders with Felix Sandstrom in the press conference, that becomes a shitstorm. Him apologizing after, saying that he shouldn't have done that. Now, that was a good thing. Maybe he wasn't jonesing for Percocets or whatever, whatever the doctors were giving him for the hand. I'm just kidding, of course. I don't know what kind of medications he's on. But all of this stuff, like, there's the calculated John where he's, you know, pushing buttons on purpose to get people on this team to get a reaction and to get a reaction from the media, to get a reaction from fans. And then a part of me is like, is he doing this to get all of this attention and all of this and for people to start talking about what kind of coach is this? And then to kind of funnel his way up to a front office gig? Like, is that really what his end game is? Where he really, like, he doesn't want to talk.
That's a great point.
He does not want to talk to reporters anymore. Like, that's pretty clear. Like, he doesn't give answers. He just shrugs his shoulders and is like, I don't even want you peons. I don't even want to hear the same fucking questions from you people. And it's not about him not interacting with the fans or anything. He loves the fans. It's the mind, you know, the mind numbing boredom of these media questions that he gets all the time. I'm not talking about Sean. And then the next question comes, well, Couturier, listen, I already told you, I'm not talking about him. I'm done. And then what does he do? Twice in a week, he sends Brad Shaw out to do the post game. Is he just tired of talking to the media? Like, does he not want to do this anymore? I think he likes being a coach, but I don't think he really likes talking to the media all that much. Although there's times where you think that that's the thing that he loves the most because he gets all of this fucking attention. Who's going to go out there after this Montreal fucking game? Are they still losing?
It's they lost 4-1.
Oh, they lost 4-1. Yeah. Did Barry Hanrahan go out there to do the post game? Who else?
They sent the bartender up in the C-suite down there to go.
Yeah. How about against Chicago? Is he going to sell the guy that sells cotton candy in section 203 or whatever? Who's next? Is it going to be the guy at the Billy Beano store? Who else is gonna do the freaking post?
Billy Leno himself comes out and does.
that would be a running gag. Imagine Billy Leno comes out and does the post game. That'd be great.
I mean, Tortorella is a bitter old man, and half the thing we knew when he signed, when you bring Tortorella in, there's gonna be a fucking media circus. I don't think you ever like talking to the media. You know, is he being extra crazy lately to convince people that he's a, you know, he fully lost his shit and he's an old man, needs to go away for a little while? That's his out. I suppose that's a theory, but I don't know. I mean, this Tortorella being an asshole is the thing that I expected the most. Him being doing these wacky fucking press conferences and refusing to talk to Sanfilippo still, which is my favorite on-running bit of the season, like. I don't know. I just thought that was all part of the John Tortorella experience. Having this guy coach your team was the psycho fucking angry media shit behavior that he came with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not really. I think it's a really interesting angle there. He's certainly not posturing himself as a reasonable and measured executive with the way that he's been interacting with the media and, you know, these incidents that, you know, you listed out very well, Manny. I don't think I'd want to work with him on an executive level upon seeing those examples at all. So I don't blame Jarmo Kekäläinen and John Davidson, you know, for rejecting that if Davidson was even there then. But it's a weird dynamic. And I think with somebody like John Tortorella, he thrives in situations where like there's a very clear enemy, or he can create himself as an enemy or create sides and divisions and very emotional type of atmosphere. And I don't think that's the way you operate as an executive. Like, you don't run on that level of,
you don't need your wacky coaching strategies to build a team. It's a much different set of skills you need.
Exactly. Like, the skill set that he seems to have as a coach would not transfer at all to the executive level. it's just completely incompatible on so many different levels. And I think that's another reason why, even if he wanted to do this, I mean, he's not posturing himself well. And I think that if any executive or, you know, front office member had a half a brain, they'd say there's no fucking way I'm working with this guy. Like, there's zero chance I'm sitting in a fucking room with this guy when he's going to act like he's going to go off the rails like once every couple weeks like that. I mean, no fucking way.
We need to re-sign Nick Saylor. God damn it. Like, unbearable to be around after a little while with the true, like, business professionals of our industry.
Didn't he hint that the Flyers were going to be circling around Sean Walker this offseason?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, he did.
Pretty much confirmed, yeah. They're bringing Walker back.
Oh, like, it's like, yeah, and it's like, that's, your GM is supposed to be making that call. Like, your job is to get the guys on the ice ready to go for the games, but it is what it is. Like, can you imagine those, his skill set is in the front office? Imagine him, yeah. imagine just for a second, imagine him traveling to Sweden with Keith Jones to meet with Cutter Gauthier and his family. And then, like, Cutter's dad comes out and is like, yeah, my son doesn't want to meet with you. Fuck you. I'm not leaving until he fucking comes here. You fucker. You send him out here right now. I'm not fucking leaving. that'd be incredible.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Cutter would still be a Flyer.
I mean, those are the exact, you know, type of difficult situations that you need to be able to manage at a certain level. And it's not managed the same way as, you know, reprimanding a player for not back checking or something. It's completely incompatible. So
they sent Tortorella to negotiate with Putin to get Fedotov over.
That would be a hell of a meeting, actually.
I don't think Torts negotiates. He just says, if you don't do it my way,
his way or the fucking highway, yeah,
then you're out. Like he doesn't, I don't think he negotiates at all. I don't think he does any of that. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that kind of
operates. It's not really a negotiation. It's he's gonna tell you what to do. You just gotta deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, what a wacky dude. Yeah. And then why is he injured all the time? He got kicked in the face with a horse. And how'd he hurt his hand again?
He said it was getting old. He didn't, I don't think he gave the specifics of what he actually got, but he had
like a
surgery because
like
he was old.
Doesn't
you know, yeah, his hand was fully wrapped for a while. It may still
yeah,
be.
Yeah. Like he pushes the envelope of like, okay, like you're going to do something really, really wrong. And he's like right on the precipice of that. And like, it's kind of weird. It like kind of makes me uncomfortable being around that guy. You know, like being around people like that. It's
yeah,
like,
weird dude.
This guy's like one hair away from like doing something outrageous and like going to prison or something. Like we've all kind of encountered those people in life that like walk that really thin line of like functioning in society and then not functioning. And he's like right before that not functioning level.
Pretty much.
But he's at that level where like he really pulls it off really well, but it's like on a hair trigger.
Yeah,
it can go the other
Somebody's
way.
Somebody's gonna like, cut him off in traffic one day and that's the end of everything. Like
when shit goes wrong.
Yeah, like with the hand or like how do you get, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're around horses, I guess that can happen, but at his age and given that he's involved with a hockey team, why are you putting yourself as in a position to get kicked in the face by a fucking horse? Second of all, like, I don't know, with the hand thing, no explanation. Like, what do you do? Get all pissed off and just try to punch the shower door or something?
Punch the wall.
Hurt himself? Or, like, what are you doing? Like, you can't control your emotion. Like, I don't know. I'm just speculating on this. But it's just these little freak things. I don't see any other NHL coaches coming out with, like, a fucking eye patch or something. Or, you know, because they made some ridiculous decision, like, while in traffic. Or, like, I have no idea what's going on with this guy.
I wonder when it correlated when they called up Bobby Brink. I wonder if it was around the same time. And he goes, God damn it, I don't want Brink on this team! And broke his hand, smashing his desk.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting, too, about Torts, he doesn't wear suits. Like, he doesn't want to have a shirt and tie on. And that doesn't particularly bother me, but I think it says something about the way that he wants to present himself in his profession. And I don't know. Like, do you want to wear it? Like, if you're in the front office, man, you're probably going to have to wear a suit sometimes. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, well, Keith Jones apparently doesn't wear a tie. He'll wear a suit jacket and a shirt, but I don't know. A lot of people are saying that he doesn't really wear the tie. He doesn't go the full executive.
Casual fucking Friday in the Flyers front office. Yeah, all around. I know.
It's Margarita Monday, guys, up in the C-suite.
It's like Apple or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like freaking Google, where they got those big fucking beanbag chairs and like think tank.
The ball pit. I had a friend that worked for Google for a while, and I went out there to that campus as a while ago, and I went in one of the ball pits. It was weird.
Yeah, it's like freaking McDonald's Playland over there.
Yeah, you like take a nap in there or something, and like fucking nasty and stuff.
Can you remember when Torts went at it with was it Brooksy from New York?
Yeah.
And then this was like early on, and he was like, you know, what are you? You were the kind of kid that got pushed around at the bus stop and beaten up. And then he's like, oh, you want to beat me up? He's like, no, I don't want to beat you up. I think everybody else in this fucking schoolyard beat you up, though. You're a fucking. Imagine him at a GM meeting or doing a trade negotiation. Like, you fucking Brad Tree living. Yeah, just... You fucking spoiled brat. You were just been beaten up when you were a kid. Yeah. like what a way to deal with this guy.
Right. Yes. Yes. That's exactly it. I can't see it. I just can't see it. And like, what sort of like level of training? He doesn't have any I don't know. Odd. I wouldn't want to. Like I said, I wouldn't want him in the front office. I like. At some point, I think that people in front offices need to figure out a way to communicate, like to me as a fan, in a way that resonates with me. I don't know if he does. I mean, like my impression, John Tortorella, is that he is a capable coach under the radar in the room and is able to get a lot of stuff out of his players. Like, I have no reason to believe that he's going to sweet talk me in a front office into buying season tickets or figure out a way to make me like to convince me that the team is
on ice. That makes me give a shit about.
Yeah. Is in the right direction or is going to be
crafting,
you know,
blockbuster trades to get the big stars. And
like there's a level, like there's an element of that you have to be able to do as a general manager, as a team president, any of those roles, you have to be able to do that. And I just can't see him formulating the right kind of mannerisms, language, just being able to communicate in that context at all.
No, he just does not strike me as that kind of guy. I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of made-up role and he can come in and... I just don't think this guy's going to do anything but coach. It just does not strike me as a front office guy. In every scenario we just talked about, nothing. Where I'm like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Nothing. Just, I don't know. I just don't know why. I mean, it's the third time it's popped up. Like, there's clearly some level of smoke to this fire, right? But I don't know. I just can't envision it.
Yeah, at least not here.
Even when he like wrote the letters to the fans, you know, like, hey, I'm going to make this team something you could be proud of. And it's like Coach Tortorella. Didn't he sign it like Coach?
Probably.
So I know, like, it'll mean something different if it's like, you know,
special GM. Advisor to the General Breer, Danny Man.
Yeah. Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah, it would be like an army thing. You know, John Tortorella is like a guy from like the, you know, an army guy that doesn't know that the Cold War is like over, or like mine for like, fuck, I hate those Russians. We gotta fucking go out and get that and keep that nuclear arsenal going. You know, you can't trust them. We gotta fight communism everywhere. And it's like so sad because the Soviet Union collapsed. It's like, I don't know what to do with myself now. I don't want to go fishing. I want to fight the commies everywhere, man. Yeah. That's what I was built for. That's John Tortorella. He's a warrior. Yeah, he's a warrior.